Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined today by Dan Thomas. Coming up, we discuss positive action in the light of the Coalition Government and the Equality Act. And we hear about reactions to the government's drive for greater transparency on public sector salaries. But first, the news. The NHS in Scotland could have to cut the equivalent of nearly 4,000 full-time jobs over the next year. Scottish Health Services forecast the loss of 3,790 positions, including 1,053 administration jobs and 1,523 nursing posts. A female RAF officer removed from her post because she was pregnant has been awarded more than £16,000. An employment tribunal found she suffered discrimination and said that the Air Force had unintentionally created an intimidating, degrading, hostile and offensive environment for her. Skill shortages across key sectors will be exacerbated by the government's proposed immigration cap, leaving organisations struggling to cope, industry figures have warned. According to Tim Finch, head of migration at the Institute of Public Policy Research, trying to cap immigration would harm both public services and the economic recovery. You can read these and other news stories in full on personneltoday.com. Dan, positive action has been much in the news this week with the revelation that almost half of the places on a BBC scheme for trainee journalists have gone to ethnic minority candidates. And Bristol City Council has banned white people from applying for a traineeship in a bid to boost staff diversity. At the moment, positive action is legal under the Race Relations Act, but it could become illegal in October when the Equality Act comes into force, with the Conservatives having implied that they would be making some changes. What's the current situation?
It's a very complex one, Tara. Basically, as it stands, as you said, positive action schemes, for particularly for training and recruitment, are illegal under the Race Relations Act. Now, the Labour government, in the proposals for the Equality Act, confirmed that positive action would continue to be legal. Prior to the election, Mark Harper, who was shadow disabled minister at the time, said that if a Conservative government got in, they wouldn't enforce the provision allowing for positive action. Now, if that is the case, previous positive action schemes, as the ones operated by BBC, Bristol City and Met Police, among others, would actually become illegal. That's because the Equality Act repeals all previous discrimination legislation, such as the Race Relations Act. Now, the situation as it stands is that we're in a bit of limbo because the government has yet to confirm whether it will enforce the positive action provision within the Act.
So if the Act is due to come in October, how far ahead of that would we know whether or not they were going to enforce this?
Well, you'd expect it to be fairly soon. I mean, I've been writing on this for the last few days and I've been trying to get hold of the Home Office and the Equality and Human Rights Commission. And the Home Office, as with most government departments at the moment, is just saying this is too early to talk about it. We're focusing on the deficit, we're focusing on the budget and so forth. And the EHRC, who'd expect to be on top of this issue, were also equally in the dark. So employers such as Bristol City and BBC are going to probably be slightly concerned that come October they're suddenly going to become illegal, because it's not as easy as just saying, well, we'll allow that part of the old legislation, because, as I say, the Equality Act Section 7 actually repeals Sex Discrimination Act, Race Relations Act and so forth.
Okay, so I mean, we're in the situation at the minute that we have, presumably we have companies kind of in limbo. They might have had plans for, you know, internships, traineeships and so forth, different schemes. And they're actually in the odd position of not knowing who they can advertise them to.
It's quite right. I mean, the government really does need to sort of crack on with this, really, because the Equality Act's coming in October and any legislation needs a lot of lead time for employers to prepare. So, I mean, positive action is not necessarily that popular among employers. I mean, things like Bristol and BBC always make the headlines because they are that rare. And obviously we know that Metropolitan Police, Martin Tiplady, is sort of uses this quite a lot, but other than that there's not many, so some may say it's not relevant for many employers, but I think the government does need to crack on and sort of say what it's going to do, just to give some clarity to those employers that want to do something in this area.
So presumably there are cost implications as well to the government if they're going to kind of undo work that's already been done.
Well, you're right. I mean, as with any legislation, it's when you do one thing it has a lot of knock-on effects. I mean, the Conservatives often talk about cutting red tape and so forth, but it's not as easy as just taking something out of a piece of legislation, because as in this case it impacts prior legislation and potentially future legislation. So it's not just as easy as just, what's it called, like a sort of bonfire of the red tape and stuff. I don't know, but it's never that straightforward.
And you know, we're in the situation where on the one hand we're hearing a lot about public sector cuts and job losses and so forth to get rid of this deficit, but yeah, they're going to be spending money undoing earlier work.
Indeed. I mean, the whole sort of public sector employers at the moment are slightly in limbo until they know that these sort of there's billions of cuts coming, but there's not much detail on exactly where they're going to come. So it's sort of all jumbled into the same situation.
So it's very much a case of watch this space.
Indeed.
Thanks, Dan. Earlier this week, the government revealed salary details for 172 civil servants, including several HR directors, who earn more than the Prime Minister. David Cameron earns £142,000 a year. While much of this information was already in the public domain, the announcement was part of a drive for greater transparency around public sector salaries. But experts have warned that this transparency might actually be counterproductive. Why is that?
Now, in theory, publishing pay levels of senior civil servants sounds like it would be a good idea, and in many ways it is. But when you actually dig a little deeper, some problems begin to emerge. We spoke to a number of experts this week following this story, and they raised a number of issues. Now, we spoke to Charles Cotton, who's the reward advisor at the CIPD, and he said, on its own, publishing pay is not enough. He says further steps need to be taken to explain what the values, achievements, behaviours and skills employers need to be successful are, and how they're being rewarded and recognised. He warned that the danger of just focusing on pay levels will end up ignoring what council workers are actually doing to earn that amount of money.
I think the danger also is it's going to end up in a bit of a witch hunt.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, if you saw the press coverage this week, slaps on the front page and people earning this, people earning that. But speaking to Andrew Kakabadze, who's a professional of international management at the Cranfield School of Management, he'd actually described it, went very strongly and said it was a terrible thing. Now, at the moment, it's just publishing details of those who earn more than David Cameron, Prime Minister, but it's going to sort of whittle down to virtually everyone. I mean, some councils are already publishing all details, and Andrew said that if you look at someone who's trying to earn, say, 50 grand, who is going to be seen, they're going to be seen as a villain just because their salary is more than the average in the area. But he warns that some of these public sector roles are actually very complex, and he suggests that up to 70% of senior private executives could not cope with some of the challenges in the public sector.
That's interesting. I mean, there must be privacy issues as well around giving out this kind of information.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, we spoke to Mike Cook, who's lead officer on reward at the PPMA. He raised this issue because he says that with many people now in public sector on performance-related pay, by publishing details on the internet of pay, they're publishing de facto people's performance. And he warns that that's fundamentally wrong and a breach of individuals' right to privacy. And this raises problems for HR because then it affects employee relations. And if you've got really good worker, but it doesn't want all their details splashed out, they're just going to move to the private sector.
And the flip side of that is where it might deter private sector people from moving into the public sector.
Well, you're right. I mean, why would you want to be splashed on front page just because you're earning a decent amount of money when you could probably be earning more in the private sector and not have all your details in the media?
Yeah, although to be fair, if I was earning 150 grand, I wouldn't mind where it was published.
Well, indeed. I mean, there are some advantages.
Thanks, Dan. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember that all of our news stories and features are available on personaltoday.com, which is updated throughout the day to bring timely, independent commentary on the HR world. Until next week, goodbye.